The story of Anna comes to us from the pen of Luke, and all we have recorded in his gospel are three short verses. And in these verses there is a wonderful little cameo, and for a short time I want to just think about this little cameo. That word cameo, of course, ladies know what a cameo brooch is like. But the word really means a small character part. And here we want to think about a woman who played a small character part in the great outworking of God's gracious plan. Now, we know something about her ancestry. She is described here as being the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Asher was one of the northern tribes that had been scattered after the exile. So that's just a little word about her ancestry. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was an Israelite. And then there's also a word about her age. We're told here that she was married to a man for 7 years and that she was a widow for 84 years. Now, some people believe that 84 was her age. I do not agree with that. I tend to believe that she was married for the 7 years and that she was a widow for 84 years. She never remarried again. And if she was married when she was 15 years of age, the girls in those times were able to marry earlier than that. But if she was married when she was 15, you take 15, you add it to 84, you add that to 7, and you get about 106, I think. 106. She could have been 106, 100. 708 years of age. And age is of no consequence to God. He can use any of us, doesn't matter what our age may be. Don't count yourself out because you're too young or you might feel you're too old. Now, I'm sure you've thought about this before. Somebody has mentioned this to you. The Virgin Mary was a teenager when she gave birth to the dear Son of God. Maybe sometimes we think she was a lot older than that, but I've read a lot of commentators, and they would be of the opinion that she could have been in her mid-teens or maybe 17, 18 years of age. That was a lot of responsibility to be placed upon young shoulders. You may be here tonight and you may think to yourself, I'm too young to be listened to. I'm too young to make any vital contribution. Well, if you read the Bible carefully, you will read of other young people who played a very active part. And at the same time, there's a word to encourage the rest of us. If we're not young, when you think of the senior citizens, that's a nicer term to use than pensioners. You call them pensioners here. Over in the States, they use senior citizen. And when you're a senior citizen in the United States and you go into a restaurant, you get 10% off, and that makes a Balamea man very, very happy. And there's a work for us all to do. You think about Moses, you think about other people and the work that they did for God. And then there's a little word about her activity. She was in the house of God day and night. She was fasting and she was praying and she was working for the Lord. So that's just a few things lying here on the surface. And from this story, there are just two or three simple things that I want to draw to your attention tonight. I'm not going to really preach so much on Anna, but just a few things that come to mind, a little devotional word as we come to have our season of prayer. First of all, there is what I've called a precious thought. And the precious thought I want to impress upon your mind is this. There's balance in the chapter. And there needs to be balance in the work of God. And there always needs to be balance in our beliefs, in the way we live and conduct our lives. There's got to be that needed balance. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, if you look there at verse 4, there is a man brought to attention, and we know his name. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, so there's a man, and we know his name. He's called Joseph. Then you move on to the next verse, and we have a woman there. And the woman was Mary, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. And then if you glance down at verse 25, Notice what it says. And behold, look at this, see this. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. God had a man in Jerusalem. And then when you come to our Bible reading in verses 36 and 37, we read about a woman. She's described here as the daughter of Phanuel. And then she's also described as a widow. There's a balance in God's work between men and women. Now, there is an equality. Women are not inferior to men. There is an equality. There's an equality in the gospel. But there is a distinction in the roles for men and women. There is a divine order. And when we move away from that divine order, then we tend to get into difficulties and problems. You think, for example, of the Trinity. Now, that word is not mentioned in the Bible, but the Trinity certainly appears in the Holy Scriptures. And it speaks of the three persons of the divine Trinity, and the old catechism tells us they were co-equal and co-eternal. So there is an equality within the Trinity, within the Godhead. But they have distinct roles within the Trinity. I've mentioned this before, but just to illustrate the point again, the Father is the author of salvation. It was his idea. The Son is the accomplisher of salvation. He died for his people on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is the applier of salvation purchased by Christ and planned by the Father. So there is an equality within the Godhead, but there is distinctive roles within the Godhead. And it's the same in the work of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ called 12 disciples, well, we know that he called 12 men. He didn't call a woman for that particular role. When the church in the book of Acts wanted to appoint deacons, or as we would say, committee men, they didn't appoint women. They appointed men, seven different men, who were set apart by God for the glory of God. But when you read the story of the Bible and the Gospels and in the Old Testament, women played a vital role, not insignificant roles, played major roles in the Holy Scriptures, and their role was that not of leadership, but of being helpers in the kingdom of God and for the work of God. And some of them are very influential. So let's keep this in mind. There's a balance, and there is an equality in the work of God, but there is distinctive roles for the male and the females in the work of the Lord. But they all played an important part in the outworking of God's divine purposes. Now, the history of the world, of course, began with a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, a husband and a wife, and God performed the first marriage in the Garden of Eden, and it was between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. And there was leadership issues there as well, and God appointed the man to be the head of the woman. That's the way it is in the Holy Scriptures. There is this leadership difference. Adam and Eve failed. We know that story only too well. And when you think of how the book of Genesis ended, it ended with death, the death of a man called Joseph. And then when you think of how the New Testament began, it began with the story of life, the birth of Jesus. So you have the death of Joseph, and then you have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve failed. They plunged the whole human race into depravity and sin. And that's the reason why the book of Genesis ends in death. But then the gospel, the New Testament era, the new covenant begins with Christ, the birth of Christ, the life giver to restore what man had lost. The history of redemption then continues with a man and a woman, Mary and Joseph, and you think of their faithfulness in the service of God. Do you think about the men that we read about here in this chapter? I've mentioned these men before. Joseph is there, and it's interesting that we read about a Joseph in the Old Testament and a Joseph in the New Testament, and the name means to add. Genesis 30, verse 24, Rachel called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." So Joseph means to add. And then the other man in verse 25, his name is Simeon. His name means to hear. How does God expand his kingdom? Well, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. That's how God adds to his church. Faith cometh by hearing. That's why it's the responsibility of a local congregation to do all in its power to invite men and women under the means of grace, that they might hear the gospel, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how the Lord builds his church. So there's balance here. Do you see that? It's important to see this. So we have a word about these men. And then you have the woman. Well, Mary is mentioned in verse 5. And that word means bitter. And in the Old Testament, we read about a woman called Miriam. It's really the same word from the same root. And when the people had been redeemed and brought out of the land of Egypt, in the book of Exodus chapter 15, they came to a place called Mara. There's the word meaning bitterness. But then when you think about the book of Ruth, a little book, a tremendous little book, you read there about a woman called Naomi, which means pleasantness. But she lost her pleasantness. When she stepped out of the will of God, she moved away from the land of Israel, and she moved down to the land of Moab. And after 10 years of being out of the will of God, after 10 years of living in that place, they went to sojourn there, but they ended up living there for 10 years. When she came back, the people hardly recognized her. They said, "Can this be Naomi? Can this be the pleasant one?" And she had to confess, "Don't call me pleasant. I've lost my pleasantness long ago. Just call me Mara. I'm coming home bitter. I went out full with a full home with a husband and two sons. I'm home without my husband, without my two boys. I brought with me one of their wives, but I went out full of pleasantness, but I'm home bitter." So when we have this thought here, there's a thought of bitterness. But then we come to this lady called Anna in verse 36, and her name means grace or gracious. Now you put the two names together, the meaning of the two names, and we discover that for every bitter experience in life, there's a promise of grace. For the Lord said to the apostle, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And this woman in the story before us, she not only experienced grace in her life, but she experienced grief. How do I know that? Well, she had been married to her husband for 7 years and then he died. And for 84 years she lived as a widow. And in those times it was tough for ladies who were widows to survive in those times. So there is this precious thought that I want to leave with you here. There's balance in the work of the Lord. There's balance in the kingdom of God and the work of the kingdom. Joseph was faithful, the ideal man for the job God appointed to him. Mary was fruitful because she produced the Messiah. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And Anna, she was witnessing, because when she saw Jesus, she began to tell others that the Messiah had arrived. So there's the precious thought, balance is needed in the work of God. A good, healthy balance in the congregation between the elderly ones and the young people. It's a congregation made up of youth and an elder generation. And that's the way it is in the service of God, a place for men and women. But then there is the perfect timing in this story. We're told here in verse 38 that she coming in that instant. Now what does that mean? She coming in that instant. Well, God's timing is always right. And that word instant in the Greek is a word that means hour, or a day bounded by the rising and the setting of the sun. So it can mean an hour or a day. But over in Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 7 and 9, the word instant is found there in the original Hebrew. "At what instant I shall speak," God said. It means the wink of an eye. It means a very short space of time. a little space or a moment. Now, just stay with me for a moment, for the wink of an eye. The word that is used there usually is translated hour, but sometimes means time. She came at the appointed hour, at the very moment Mary and Joseph were presenting the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. God's timing is always perfect. Do you see that? Yes, it talks about the hour, but it talks about the very moment. Just as Simeon was performing this responsibility and duty and singing the praises of Christ at that very moment, yes, there was an hour, but there was a moment in that hour when she came in and she saw Jesus. The timing of God is perfect. You notice how the chapter begins, and it came to pass in those days. Well, that speaks of the providence of God. What days? It was a time when the decree of Augustus had been signed and issued, requiring that all households return to the place where they were born. Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. They originally came from Bethlehem, so they had to travel down to the city of David, to Bethlehem, for tax purposes. That was a journey of about 80 miles. Now, the Bible tells us that Mary was great with child. She was well advanced in her pregnancy. She didn't fly down there. She didn't fly bee down. She didn't take a bus down. She didn't drive one of these sporty cars that get you from Ballymena down to Coleraine in a few minutes. No, nothing like that. She came on the back of a donkey, probably. Now, you think about that. Well advanced in her pregnancy, traveling in this way. Jostled there on the way down. But she arrived at the right place, according to what Micah said. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. She arrived at that right time. And no sooner had she arrived than the child could be heard crying, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." So the Lord used the mighty Roman Empire to issue this decree that caused Joseph and Mary to leave Nazareth to make their way down that journey of about 80 miles under great pressure. They came, there was no room in the inn. What were we going to do? And it was just then that the purpose of God from eternity was fulfilled in the birth of God's dear Son. God's timing is always right to bless, to enrich, and to encourage the people of God. And God's purpose was to let Mary and Joseph see something of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. So you may be going through a difficult time. Things may not be just the easiest for you. You've been waiting for a long time, but God's timing is perfect. And you will come to understand that, and you will agree with what I'm saying tonight. And then, finally, my time has come to an end, the personal testimony. I may not get through this, but I'm just going to finish in 5 minutes' time to give us time to pray. The personal testimony. She was recognized as a prophetess. This word prophetess is only found twice in the New Testament, here in this portion, Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, where we read of a woman called Jezebel. We've heard her name before in the Old Testament, not the same person, of course, not a good woman. She was an ungodly prophetess. But here we find this woman, she's a godly one. There's a contrast, you see that? There's a contrast here. Now, what is meant by this prophetess? I do believe that she was given special insight into Scripture, into prophecy, and that her ministry was there in the temple when the young woman came and the older woman came, and she taught them and explained to them the Holy Scriptures. That's the sense, I believe, this term is used here. There was a ministry for her, gathering the young woman around, teaching, educating them, preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. She's called the daughter of Phanuel. Phanuel means whom God beholds. Hagar said, "Thou God seest me. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." And her father's name is very suggestive. It suggests a beautiful relationship with God. And as a child, she had the privilege of being influenced by the one who lived under the gaze of God. No wonder we find such enrichment from her life, having been brought up in such an environment. Yes, she was widowed early, And she had much grief, but she lived in the presence of one who lived under the gaze of God. The word also means vision of God. And the Hebrew word is related to Peniel or Penuel. That's familiar to us, meaning the face of God. Genesis chapter 32, verse 30. What happened at Peniel? Jacob saw God face to face at that place. He had a wonderful experience there. He met with God, and God touched him. So here we find Anna. She too had the wonderful experience. She's coming in at the very moment Simeon is praising the Lord. And at that very moment, in that instant, she beholds the face of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was only a baby at this point of time. But faith gave way to sight, and she met with Christ in God's house. And she witnessed the fulfillment of Malachi 3, verse 1, "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." The Lord suddenly came to his temple, and she was there to see it. There was the old man was there, Simeon, and the old woman. The senior citizens were there to see the infant and to see the teenager who had given birth to the promised Savior. She was of the tribe of Asher. That refers to her nationality. And Asher was one of the sons of Jacob. He was the last and the least of four sons born to Jacob. And he does not hold a prominent position in Israel's history. And remember when he was born to Leah, she said, "Happy am I." It's the same word found in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed or happy. Blessed is the man, happy is the man. And so we have the meaning here, happy or blessed. Here was this woman, she was happy. She was blessed of the Lord. She was blessed of the Lord that day because she saw Jesus. And then she became a blessing to others because she shared Jesus. She told those waiting in Jerusalem for the redemption that God had promised. She shared that message with them. So she was doubly blessed. She was blessed in her own soul, and she was a blessing to others. The same thing could be said of Simeon, the other man in the story. And we're told here in the Word of God, verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them," that is Mary and Joseph. He was a blessing to Mary and Joseph. Why? He shared the Word of God with them. And this woman, Anna, she was blessed because she was sharing the gospel, the message, the Messiah has come. What a wonderful story we have here in the Word of God. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple, verses 22 and 24. At the end of the chapter, Joseph and Mary bring him again to the temple. They brought him when he was about 6 weeks of age, 40, 41 days, to present him to the Lord. And then they brought him when he was 12. He was brought into the house of God when he was 6 weeks, and then he was brought into the house of God when he was 12. The first time he was brought, when he was only a baby, they were challenged by the message about him, the message brought by Simeon. And they were given insight into the nature of his life and so on. The second time they were challenged by a message from him. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." Why are we on earth? Why is the church on earth? Why are we here? I must be about my Father's business. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts tonight. We'll get down to our time of prayer. Let's all seek the Lord together, please. And these past couple of weeks, people have been praying short to the point more people have been engaging in prayer. Please feel free to enter in tonight and pray with us that the Lord will come and move. Pray for the pastor of this congregation, that the Lord will move, bring a man to the attention of the congregation here in Korea. I'm just going to lead briefly in prayer. Someone just step in immediately after I pray and keep the flow of prayer going tonight. Our Father, we're thankful again for these few thoughts from this portion of God's Word, from this little cameo that is tucked away here in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. We're thankful even for the simple little lessons we have gleaned tonight, may they be beneficial to us, and may they prove to be a blessing in the days that lie ahead. Teach us now how to pray. Give us victory as we pray. We plead all the merits of the precious blood, and grant that there will be a good, steady chain of believing prayer ascending to thy heavenly throne of grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone else like to lead us, please.